Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
This morning, as we kind of get into the Word of God today and we look at the final S in our blessed strategy, I want to couple that with what happened on the day of Pentecost, 150 days after Jesus gave his life and resurrected from the grave, that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those believers in an upper room. And you might remember Jesus was telling them, as he ascended 40 days after the resurrection, he met with them and he told them and he gave them these words. He said in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And I picked the New Living Translation on purpose today because in the DNA of what Jesus said about when the Holy Spirit would come on us, upon us as believers, that his Holy Spirit would come upon us so that we could be his, somebody help me out, witnesses, so that we could be his witnesses. And so what we're talking about and what we've been talking about in this blessed series has been building towards this final S, share your story. Share your story. How many of you know you have a story to tell? BLESS, as we said, is an acronym, the everyday habits and practices that we use to be able to love our neighbor and that we know have the ability to be able to impact and change the world. It's not a program. It's not a formula. These are just habits. These are rhythms that as believers we can incorporate into our everyday lives. How many of you know we begin with prayer? That's what B is, right? Begin with prayer. Before Jesus ministered to people, he prayed. He asked God for opportunities. He asked God to move on their heart. How many of you know that salvation is a miracle? It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? This is not a sales pitch. This is spiritual. If you've given your life to Christ, if God has opened up your understanding to salvation and his grace and his mercy, I'm going to tell you that is because the Holy Spirit moved in your heart. It's a miracle. Okay, some of you are with me today, right? Life change is something only God can do. So we've got to begin with prayer. Prayer has to be what we begin with. And then L, listen with care. We've got to listen with care. Again, one of the most loving things that you can do is to listen to someone, to listen to their story, to hear their struggles, to listen to the questions that they have. And listening communicates value. It communicates love. And then one of my favorites, we explored E, which is eat together. I think that's one of the things we get down in the church pretty good, don't we? We love to eat. We love our potlucks and our fellowships, but you know what? They're spiritual. And you know, when you invite your neighbors or your coworkers or your friends or family over for a meal, there's something about the dinner table that opens up the opportunity to listen and to be able to love and to really be able to get to know someone. Because when we're talking about sharing our faith, we're not talking about something that is transactional. It's not transactional. It's relational. It's purposeful. It's not seeking a transaction, but it's inviting someone into this wonderful relationship, saying, "I truly care about you, and because I care about you, I want to introduce you to somebody who has changed my life." Who's changed my life. And they'll tell you as you listen and as you eat, they'll tell you how they need to be served. And that's the one we looked at last week, serve with compassion. That's the first S. As you pray for someone, as you take time, you begin to discover their story, but you also discover the needs that they have and how can you best come alongside to lift their arms to serve in needs that they have with compassion. But there's still one more S. And this is perhaps the one that is probably most uncomfortable. Pastor, do we really have to talk about this one today? Absolutely. It's share your story. Right? I don't know about you, but for many of us, sharing our faith is intimidating. Anybody ever been afraid to share your faith? You found it to be a little bit intimidating. I have. It's why that we love the quote that was attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who says, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Right? If I live my life, if I love people, if I pray for them and I serve them, and then they're going to see the love that I have, and they're just going to automatically just come to Jesus. Except that's incomplete. You can't spell bless with just one S. Okay. You need the other S, right? You can't just do nice things for people. Then people just say, "Well, you're a nice person." And they don't necessarily make the connection to the gospel. Don't believe me? Here's what Paul wrote, Romans 10:14. "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" See, a key component of really being able to truly love our neighbors well and change the world, a true component of helping people make the connection to God's grace and mercy, comes when we learn how to share our story and we learn how to share the gospel with others. Oftentimes we want to hold back and we struggle because we're afraid. I don't know. What if I don't know enough? Let me share with you three reluctant reasons as we begin. Why are we reluctant to share the gospel? Why are we reluctant to share our story? Well, sometimes we just feel like, I don't have what it takes. Have you ever felt that way before? I just don't have what it takes. I mean, you're the preacher. You went to Bible college. I don't have all of that background. I don't really know enough. I haven't really read enough. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? You ever felt that way before? Yeah, these are normal things. They're real fears that we have. We feel like sometimes we got to go through Bible college and be able to answer every question. But sometimes the simple answer is, and I've had to answer this, you know what? I don't know. You know what? That's a good question. You know, you're pushing me. I'm going to have to look that up. Right? We don't know everything. I've been through Bible college. I don't know everything. I've served Jesus for a long time. I think we were talking about it. What are we coming up on? 29 years of full-time ministry? I don't know everything. I just don't. It's okay, right? You don't have to answer everybody's question. In fact, Jesus actually told his disciples this, and this is why it's so important that we recognize who we have with us, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, because this is what he said in Matthew 10:19-20. He told his disciples this: "God will give you the right words at the right time. For it's not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Do you believe that God can speak through you? Do you believe that in those moments the Holy Spirit can give you the right word that you need in the right moment when you need it? And if he doesn't, then it's probably best to just be quiet. You don't necessarily have to have all the answers. In fact, sometimes asking questions is even better, because if somebody goes and they begin to look it up themselves, it's actually more powerful that way. The second reluctant reason is this: I don't want to impose my beliefs on my friends and family. We talked about this in week one, right? Oftentimes there are stereotypes and we feel bad. I don't want to impose what I believe. Is it really right to impose what I believe on somebody else? Should I really do that? And we talked about how sometimes there have been things that have been stereotypes of how you share your faith, holding up signs and preaching in the streets and shouting and those kind of things. And we say, "Well, I'm not built for that. I can't go door to door." We get this kind of picture in that way, but you know, it's different when we talk about sharing our story. Humbly sharing your story is different, because it's saying, this is the difference that Jesus has made in my life. This is the encounter I've had with Jesus. This is the difference that he has made in my life. In fact, missiologist D.T. Niles once said this: "Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread." Doesn't that sound good? Right? It's one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. It's saying, listen, here I am. This is where I was. This is the need that I had. And you know what? This is the difference that Jesus has made in my life. Let me share with you where you can meet the man who changed my life. Where you can meet the Savior that changed my life, that transformed my life. You know, it's really not loving if you know where there's bread and somebody else is hungry and you don't tell them where it is. That's the least loving thing you can do. Right? I mean, if you've got a cure for something and you don't tell someone about it, that's not very loving, isn't it? If you hoard it all for yourself. No, your story is compelling. It's not imposing. It's the opportunity to simply be able to share, this is what Christ has done for me. Reluctant response number 3, sharing my story makes me feel uncomfortable. And that's true. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to share our story. It's not always comfortable. We get tongue-tied. I'm not as eloquent as a speaker. I get uncomfortable, kind of trying to unpack and share this. And while there is discomfort and while there might be some nervousness or awkwardness, sometimes we have to overcome that in order to be able to help someone else discover who Jesus is. And there's ways to do that. There's ways to do that. And so today I want to talk about how to overcome these obstacles today. How do we overcome these reluctant obstacles that get in the way so that we can, when we've spent time praying for people and we've spent time getting to know them and listening and we've spent some time eating together and we've been serving in their needs and we say, you know, I really want them to know Jesus. I really want them to know Jesus. How do we then add the rhythm into it of sharing our story? And so I want to just kind of unpack this, and we're going to look at a story in John chapter 9. It's a man who was born blind. He's a man who was born blind, and he helps us with a framework that really can help us in sharing our story. John 9 and verse 1, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Listen, we don't know this man's name. You know, there are some folks in Scripture, you just don't know their name, right? All we have is that he was a man who had been born blind. Later on, we get a little bit more information about him in verse 8 when it says, his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, is this the man who used to sit and beg? So we found out something else. Not only was he born blind, but this was a man who was a beggar. He was a man who was in need. In that day and age, there was not a lot. If you had blindness, there were not a lot of options for you to be able to earn an income and take care of yourself. So you were led by the hand by somebody who cared for you or somebody at least who wanted to see you get some help. And they would lead you probably right out in front of the temple or a place where people would pass by. And you would be there and you would beg for people to be able to give you alms. That's the way it was. This was a guy who was in need. He was blind and he was a beggar and he needed a lot of help and in his life. He had this disability and he needed a lot of help. And then one day, his life changed. One day, this man who had been born blind, who didn't do anything to deserve the condition that he was in, yet found himself in a condition where he was in need and had to beg, and he had to plead with people to be able to help him. Here he was by the side of the road. We don't know how many times somebody kicked him, somebody spat him, somebody said, I'm not helping you. And what abuse he took as he sat there. But one day, while he was sitting there, something happened in his life. Something changed. Look at verses 6 and 7. Jesus, then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva. You're like, how does this help? Keep watching, keep reading. Spread the mud over the blind man's eyes, and he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. The man went and washed and came back seeing. It's a miracle, isn't it? A man who was born blind can now see. Can you imagine the scene? For years, living in utter darkness, for years, seated and begging in the temple, led where he needed to go. And then in a matter of minutes, all of a sudden, this man, Jesus, takes some mud, smears it on his eyes, says, go wash. And he gets up and he does. And when he washes the mud off his eyes, he's blinking. What is that? Look at those colors. Look at there. Is that a tree? What is that? That's what they say a tree looks like? Is that the sun? I mean, it's, wow, that's so bright. Look at the people. Wow. Right? A miracle. And obviously this guy's excited. When you're excited and something happens, what do? You tell somebody. You tell somebody. Right? When you get excited, when you eat somewhere that's really good, you've had a really good meal, what do? You tell somebody. You snap it and you tell everybody in your social media circles about what you were eating and how good your night was and how good the evening was and what you celebrated and what you did. Oh, I've got good news to share. Right? Verse 11, then he told them. The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes. And he told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed. And now I can see. He can't fully explain what happened. Minus the spitting part. He says, this is all I know. He doesn't. I probably wouldn't tell somebody either the spitting part. He just made mud. Like, that's kind of gross, right? He made mud and put it on my eyes, right? I went and washed, and I can see. And later they ask him, they said, what happened to you? And here, simple response. Here's a simple response. I was blind, and now I can see. I was blind, and now I can see. For the blind man, he simply gives us a three-step framework that we can use in telling our own stories. And you can use this, and I would encourage you to work on this week. This three-step, simple three-step framework. Not a sermon, just a three-step framework. First one is this, my life before Jesus. John chapter 9 opens by sharing about this man's life before Jesus. What was his life before Jesus? He was blind. I was blind. I was a beggar. I had been blind from birth. I don't know who caused it. The disciples said, what caused this man's blindness? Was it his own sin or was it his parents' sin? He was born that way. Did he do something beforehand? Is this a generational kind of thing? What is it? What's the problem? You know what? I don't know. Here's what I know about myself. I was blind. I didn't have means to be able to take care of myself. People had to lead me everywhere. I was blind. I was a beggar. I didn't have a whole lot. This was my life before I met Jesus. You know, when you consider sharing your own story, begin with, what was your life like before Jesus? Some of you have some really strong testimonies about what your life was like before Jesus. I got to be honest with you. I grew up with parents who knew Jesus. They brought me to church, I think from the time I came out of the hospital, maybe a week later, I was already in the nursery. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me. I don't remember a time when I wasn't coming to church. So I struggle. Like, what's my testimony before I knew Jesus? What was it like before I knew Jesus? You know, I kind of grew up in this place where I was in church. But how many of you know you can be in church but not really know Jesus? Right? You can know a lot about Jesus, but not really know Jesus. And you see, before I could say that I really knew Jesus, I went through some things. My parents, even though they were followers of Jesus, had some struggles and problems in their marriage. And I remember early on as a young boy, my parents getting separated and divorced. I can remember in fourth grade having to come home from the bus, and my mom having to go back to work, and my dad not being at home, and I had to come home. My brothers were being watched by my grandparents about a half hour away where they lived. They were helping out as best they could. But I remember being a latchkey kid. I remember coming home, I remember opening up the door. I remember nobody being there. I remember having to use the corded phone. Remember those corded phones, you know, just to call my grandparents to say, hey, I got in okay. I'm safe. Okay, you're safe. Okay, you got your list of things to do, your chores and things to do. Yeah, that was fourth grade. I remember then we moved near my grandparents when after the divorce and parents sold the house and we went and we lived with my grandparents for a summer and then my mom got a home and I remember in fifth grade, how many know fifth grade's a tough grade? And I remember transitioning in middle school to a brand new school. Nobody I knew, no friends. Fifth, sixth grade, no friends. And I didn't really have friends. In fact, I was the new kid. I remember getting picked on. I remember, you know, that. It was a tough time for me. It was a tough time for me. It was a time that tested, Jesus, where are you? Right? I've grown up hearing about you. My parents said they loved you. We'd gone to church. How could this happen? Why am I going through this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have those stories in your life. You know the pain. You know the things that have happened in your life. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. This world is full of pain. Pain that comes to us from other people's decisions that we get caught up in. And then there is also times where we make our own way. We do our own thing. We go according to what we think and what somebody said, do this, or what the crowd said, or what this happened, and we find ourselves bound or in pain, and sometimes we're blind and we can't seem to see the light. What was your life like before you met Jesus? For the blind man, it was simply, I was blind. I was blind. That's where I was. I was blind. But how many of you know that that's a great place to start, but you don't have to stay in your before, right? You don't have to stay in your before. Part two is this, how I met Jesus, right? Looking back at the story in John chapter 9, there was something different about this man after he met Jesus. Let's read about it, verses 8 to 11. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? And some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I'm the same man. I love this. All right? I'm the same one. Then they ask, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you meet Jesus, and those who know, right? When you meet Jesus, you're just not the same. If you meet Jesus and you find yourself being the same person, you better go back and meet him again, right? Because there's religion. Religion doesn't change anybody. Like I said in my story, I was coming to church. But then one day, as I'm crying on the side of my bed, and my mom comes in, we begin to talk. I begin to talk about how I'm on the back of the bus, and man, the kids are just picking on me, and they, you know, it's bad. I remember saying, "What's wrong with me? I didn't choose this. What's wrong with me?" My mom began to remind me about Jesus. And we sat there and my mom prayed with me and I prayed with her. And I'm going to tell you something. Throughout my life, what I found is that Jesus has had an impact in every decision that I've made. It hasn't always been easy and I go through painful things and I've gone through difficult things. But I'm going to tell you, when I call upon the name of the Lord, something changes in my life. There is hope. There is hope and there is purpose. When I felt like I had nothing to offer, my mom began to remind me of Jesus and that he had a plan for my life. that I needed to just continue to grow in my relationship with Jesus because Jesus would not let me down. Jesus had a purpose and a plan. And she read Jeremiah 29:11 over my life. And she quoted, I remember, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was one of those moments, those key scriptures that my mom read, that I memorized, that I began to hang on to. Why? Because Jesus makes all the difference. Because when I called out to Jesus, all of a sudden there was something that began to change inside of me. I had gone to church, but did I know him? And when I began to know him, something began to change and something began to heal. And I was blind, but now I see. The blind man said, they said, who are you? Is this the same guy? You're the same one that was sitting begging. What happened to you? I was healed. Well, what happened? I don't know. I can't preach a sermon on it. I can't quite figure it out. All I know is I was blind. This man made mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash. I did what he told me to do. And because I did what he told me to do, when I washed it off, I could see. I could see. Sometimes we feel like we got to figure out how to explain. We got to explain it. We gotta get in. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I want you to get to know your Bible. You should get to know your Bible. There's a thing of apologetics and getting to know. But I've got to be honest with you. In those moments, sometimes people don't really care. You begin to tell them, this is what Jesus did for me. This is how Jesus changed my life. Later on, the Pharisees, they wanted to know because Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. I don't quite, you know, it's working. And he made mud, and you're not supposed to make mud on the Sabbath. And so they were so worried about Jesus' methods that they missed the miracle. That's another thing that religion does. Religion gets focused on this is the how we have to do it and how we have to do it and how we have to do it. Forget about the miracles that are taking place. If it didn't meet the way we thought it should go, we missed the miracle. And we get focused on the wrong things. Well, okay. So they had some questions. The Pharisees asked the man, tell us about it, right? These are the religious leaders. Tell us about it. You got to give us a reason here. Tell us about it. So he told them. He put the mud on my eyes, and when I washed away, I could see. That's it? No more? Come on, don't you have some kind of Old Testament reference you can connect it to? Don't you have some kind of thing you can connect it to? Don't you? And what do you believe about this guy? What do you believe about this Jesus guy? Who do you think it was? He's like, I don't know. He's got to be a prophet. And they start trying to debate the man. And he's like, listen, I don't know. Do you want to believe him too? They were just upset. Why were they upset? Because this man was blind. And now he could see. He was blind, but now he could see. And when he was asked about it, he didn't try to figure out how to explain it away. He simply shared what happened when he met Jesus. Friends, can I tell you? It's that simple. What was your life before you met Jesus? It doesn't have to be this big, long, but what are some of the things? What was life like before you met Jesus? Then, what happened? What happened? What was it? Did you come to church and you heard a sermon and you responded and all of a sudden something began to change inside of you because you just started to understand? Were you going through and you had a coworker or a friend that met you and prayed with you and shared Jesus? What happened? How did you meet Jesus? Sometimes when you meet Jesus, it's something that happens immediate and you do it. Sometimes it's progress, right? How many of that's been your story? There are little bits along the way that kind of gradually you got your faith. You can't necessarily point to that one moment where you came down and you said, oh, Jesus, I give my life to you. But just along the way, there were little bits of faith. And then one day you found yourself confessing Jesus as Lord and you're like, wow, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And you know what? I'm not the same as I was before. And things that I do things and now I got this like thing called conviction. Like what, why do I feel bad about that? I never used to feel bad about doing those, saying those things, going there. Now all of a sudden I'm starting to feel bad about that. Why do I feel bad about that now? Because you met somebody. You met somebody. You met somebody that showed you grace and mercy and love in a way that you can't put into another category. And it changes you. It changes you. I was blind, but now I see. And then we move to the third, my life since I met Jesus. What's your life like since you met Jesus? For the man born blind, he has the best declaration, I think, one of the best in all of Scripture. I know this. I was blind and now I can see. I know, Pastor, you just keep focusing on this. What was your life after? What's my life after? I can see. That's my life after I met Jesus. I can see. What's life like for you after you have met Jesus? You see, for me, I was an angry young boy. I was mad that my dad had left and wasn't around and involved in my life. I was angry. I'd lose my temper. It was hurting, but I didn't know how to express it. I was expressing it by just being angry at everybody, being angry and losing my temper. I would punch walls. I would throw things. I'd have fits of rage. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus began to work in my life, and he worked in me, and he taught me how to forgive. Taught me how to forgive, and he began to provide peace and healing for what I was angry about. I was angry. But as I learned how to forgive, and as Jesus began to heal what was the greater wounds in my heart and began to show me who he was as a heavenly father, I began to heal, and he began to reveal his purpose, that his purpose for me was bigger. It was bigger. I remember wrestling in high school and trying out different things. You know, they have college and career things, and you fill out these things and you take these surveys, and oh, you're supposed to be in this, and oh, you're supposed to be in that. And I remember go checking out different career days. But then I went to camp, and God spoke to me, and he said, you know what, I'm calling you into ministry. And it was so real that nothing else mattered. All of a sudden, God had given me a purpose in my life, because that's what he does. And since I've met Jesus, life is not always easy, but I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the difference. Jesus is the difference. Jesus is the one that has helped me to continue to walk through healing and forgiveness. Do I still get angry? Oh, sure. Right? But do I know how to forgive? Yeah. Why? Because I've been forgiven. Jesus is the one that heals. And Jesus is the one that transforms. And Jesus is the one that gives purpose. And Jesus is the one who gives peace. And so, friends, I'm telling you a message about how to share your story. You simply say, who was I? What was my life like before I met Jesus? And then what happened? How did I meet him? And what's life like for me now? And you just simply begin to tell that story. Because there are others that need to know that what they're going through, and the pain that they're walking through, and the challenges that they face, that there's somebody that has an answer. There's somebody that loves. There's somebody that cares. There's somebody that has provided for them a gift of eternal life, who gave his life. And if they meet him, their life will never be the same. Their life will never be the same. People who are bound are set free. Oh, throughout Scripture, it's the same, right? The same patterns. In Luke chapter 8, we would read about a troubled man. He was demon-possessed, tormented. He was tormented. But then that was his life before he met Jesus. In fact, the whole town knew this guy was insane. This guy was out of his mind. This guy was tormented, and he was bound, and he came up bound. And as Jesus comes up, Jesus says, what is your name? And the demon says, Legion. And Jesus cast the demon out of the man. One encounter, he was bound. But then one encounter with Jesus, he was set free. He was set free, a soul set free. And he says, Jesus, let me hang out with you. These people really don't like me. I've kind of ravaged them. They don't really like me. Let me go with you and your disciples. And Jesus, listen to Jesus' words to him. Luke 8:39, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Friends, that's it. It's that simple. What has Jesus done for you? You just got to tell it. Jesus knew that for this man, there was a network of relationships of people that would never discover his love for them unless this man was able to go and share what Jesus had done for him. I love it. He did exactly what Jesus said. He went all over town and he began to tell all over town what Jesus had done for him. And in a parallel passage, Mark chapter 5 and verse 20, it says this: all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed. In fact, the next time Jesus showed up in that area, all of these people brought their friends and family to him so that Jesus could heal them and deliver them and set them free. You see, they couldn't argue with the story because the change of the man was standing right in front of them. You know, we looked at the story of the Samaritan woman a couple of weeks ago, right? She was at a well and Jesus was talking to her, and after putting her faith in Jesus, she got all fired up, right? And she went back into her village, and the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, "Come see a man and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming out from the village to see him. "You will be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, right? This is Pentecost Sunday. Friends, 2,000 years ago, just like this, a group of ordinary people had received an extraordinary gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They walked out into the streets and they began to share. They weren't polished. They weren't professionals. They just began to share. In fact, later on in Acts chapter 3 and 4, when Peter and John are there and they're giving testimony for raising a man who had been lame at the gate, beautiful, they looked and they said, these were just ordinary men who had been, ordinary fishermen who had been with Jesus. Friends, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, something happens and you begin to go out and you begin to share your story. Acts 2:11, the crowds that day of Pentecost declared, and we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. That's what it is. Has God done something wonderful in your life? Meeting Jesus, has it made a difference in your life? From where you were and then you met Jesus to where you are, has God done something wonderful in your life? And if he has, simply share your story. Share your story. It's that simple. That's what Blessed is all about. And again, this is not being a salesman. This is not trying to peddle something. This is simply saying, I want to be a blessing to my neighbor, so you know what? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for my coworkers, and I'm going to pray for my family members that are hurting and don't know Jesus, and I'm going to pray for my neighbors, and I'm going to begin to pray for the people that God puts in my life. And you know what? I'm going to look for ways that I can just sit and listen. I don't have to have all the answers, but I just want to love them by listening to what's happening, and inviting them over, sharing a meal together, getting to know them. And you know, I'm going to listen. How do they need to be served? Not how do I want to serve them, but how do they need to be? What are some things tangibly that I can do that can help lift the load? And when you begin to do that and there's relationship, you have the opportunity in one of those listening moments to say, yeah, you know what? You're hurting. You know what? That's bad. You know what, man, you're really struggling. You're really going through some, you know what? Yeah, you know what? There's this direction. Can I just share with you a moment? Can I share with you something about me, about my story? Would you just give me that opportunity? And when you've built relationships with people, sure. Tell me what's happening in your life. Tell me what's happening. Well, you know, here's where I was before I met Jesus. And I was angry. I didn't really know much of a purpose in my life. My parents had been divorced. I'd gone to church, but man, there was just something I was hurting. And then one day I'm sitting in my room and I'm crying and my mom comes in and my mom begins to tell me about Jesus and tell me how Jesus has moved in her life. And she begins to introduce me to Jesus. And as I was there, I just began to pray and I said, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you to help me heal. I need you to heal this wounded little boy's soul. And in that moment, I began to discover the love of a heavenly Father like I had never known before. And I'm not saying my whole situation changed, but I changed. I changed. And I began to build a relationship with Jesus. And you know what happened? Jesus began to heal and he began to help me to forgive. And he began to heal the anger that I had. And then he began to give me purpose for my life. And he said, this is what I want you to do with your life. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus made a huge difference in my life. And you know what? I believe that with where you're at right now, I just want to encourage you to consider putting your faith in Jesus. Because I know what he did for me, he can do for you. What he did for me, he can do for you. Friends in a room here, how many of you, you've got a story to share? You can say, I met Jesus and my life has never been the same. I met Jesus and my life has never been the same. And you know, I'd venture to say that in a room this size and even online, that maybe there are some of you, you've been coming to church, but maybe you've never fully embraced Jesus yourself. Maybe here in the story of the blind man, I was blind, but now I see. By the way, if you sing Amazing Grace and you know Amazing Grace, that's what we're talking about, right? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And maybe for you today, this is your moment. You've been sensing the Lord moving. And you say, you know, I hear that story and I don't know that I've really made that commitment to invite Jesus into my life and to let him begin the work of healing and forgiveness that he wants to do. And so today, before we go any further and we close the service and the worship team is going to come, I want to invite you, if you need to receive Jesus as your Savior today, we're going to bow our heads. And I just want you to lift up your hand. Just let me know. And then I'm going to lead you in prayer today. So if that's you and you need to receive Jesus today, have your head bowed today. Again, just you personally, where you're at, you know where you've been. You know where you've been. You know what's happened in your life. You know. But today, I believe that Jesus says, I want to touch you. I want to begin to heal the hurts that are in your heart. I want to begin to you to experience the forgiveness that I offer. And if today you say, you know, I need to give my life to Jesus today, will you just slip up your hand today? You can just slip it up, just wave at me, and then you can put it down. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Is there anyone at all? Today is the day. Today is the day I want to begin my journey, my story. Thank you. I want to begin my story with Jesus today. Yeah, let's pray. If you raise your hand, just go ahead and just pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you today that you love me. You know where I'm at. You know the sins that I've committed. You know the hurt and the pain that I'm walking with. I need you. I need you to heal me. I need your forgiveness. Jesus, I need you to set me free. So today I invite you into my life. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you and get to know you. And I need your touch. Heal me. Save me. Transform my life. Walk with me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.